welcome once again to EW10's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host. Our special guest author, the one and only Father Wade Meneses, CPM. His latest book, Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints, proudly published by EW10 directly and available through our EW10 religious catalog, EW10RC.com, for all things Catholic. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Father Wade, over these many, many years. People saw you recently again, let alone all your programs, but on with Father Mitch.
Yes, that's right.
Talking about this topic and this book. Yeah. Book as well.
And so, thank you, Doug. It's great to be with you.
Always. And so how many books is this now for you?
This is number four. Stand Firm, Be Strong is number four. It's a genre of the daily devotional. Mm-hmm. And it comes after Catholic Essentials, which came after Overcoming the Evil Within, mm-hmm. which came after The Four Last Things. So mm-hmm. I kind of marvel in God's goodness here. This was not planned. You know, my first book, The Four Last Things, A Catechetical Guide to Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell, is on a specific topic, mm-hmm. The Church's Eschatology, the study of the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. My second book, Overcoming the Evil Within, the reality of sin and the transforming power of God's grace and mercy, is about the spiritual life, you know, overcoming vice and advancing in virtue and the mm-hmm. reality of sin, both mortal and venial, etc. My third book, Catholic Essentials, a key to understanding, a guide to understanding mm-hmm. key church teachings, is like a little catechism. It mm-hmm. has 81 short chapters on different points of church doctrine that's springboard from five parent categories, mm-hmm. morals and dogma, liturgy, sacraments and ecclesiology. And now this book is specifically written for men, and it's in the format or genre of the daily devotional. So mm-hmm. I didn't plan this, but each of the four books is a different genre of study.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this book based on retreats you've given? Those other ones are kind of based on retreats that were then kind of turned into programs for us and then put into a book. What was the genesis of this material?
This one is not based on that. Of my three previous books, two were written based on former retreat conferences mm-hmm. and retreat conferences that I had given, both mm-hmm. at parish missions and retreats. Catholic Essentials and this one, Stand Firm, Be Strong, springboard from an interest of wanting to be more catechetical, in this case with the men directly, because I believe that the genre of a daily devotional specifically for men, for males, mm-hmm. is something that we lack in our universal church library, the mm-hmm. universal church. You know, we have prayer books for men. We have specific topical books for men, like how to be a better husband, how to be a better father. We have spiritual warfare manuals with a series of prayers and so forth, but we don't have a daily devotional for men, something that the guys can go to daily.
Well, that's a question when you hear daily devotional. What's a devotional? What do you mean a daily devotional?
It's meant to go to each day to begin your day, mm-hmm. okay? And hopefully it will have a scripture quote that you can really revolve your day around. Well, I've included a saint quote as well to do that. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, and lastly, my own meditation that kind of sums up everything regarding the topic of the day, and the scripture quote and the saint quote.
Why the saint quote? Why did you add that in? Because it makes it more Catholic, or
that's a great
example, or what?
That's a great question, because I wanted to show the continuity of the saints with scripture and the continuity of scripture with the saints, those mm-hmm. who have won the crown that does not wither, as St. Paul tells us. And it's a great way to show that continuity when you include both a saint quote mm-hmm. and a scripture quote. And then I added my meditation that kind of sums everything all up together based on that topic of the day or the phrase of the day. Mm-hmm. It could be a single word topic. It could be several words that form the topic. And it's a 200-day daily right. devotional for a period of 6 months.
Yeah, and 200 days, that's 6 months. That's how you came up with that?
Yes. Well, the reason why that's the case and not a full year right. is because a full year, a 365-day daily devotional would have made it more of a textbook size, okay. and I did not want to do that. I wanted to make it more of the size of the standard reader, the okay. 8.5 by 5.5. And there's also a reason why I wanted the standard size reader.
So is there going to be a part two?
There could be, yeah.
Okay.
God's will
if
be done.
If the sales are good, I guess yeah. it'll be a part two.
Yeah. God's will be done. But there's a second reason why I went the 8.5 by 5.5 size mm-hmm. for the standard reader, and not of the more squarish variety that you right. see the daily devotional in a smaller size, more right. squarish, is because I want the CEO who heads up a Fortune 500 company to throw this in his briefcase and take it with him to work and read that day's meditation that he read that morning, read it a couple more times that day, maybe during his lunch break, maybe before he leaves work. I want the welder to throw it in his work truck and take it to his shop and place it on the shelf above his welding station. Mm-hmm. I want the farmer to put it in the cab of his tractor to be able to refer to it throughout the day. I want the high school teacher to place it on his desk mm-hmm. in his classroom. I want the priest to place it on the counter in his sacristy or vestry so that when he gets ready for Mass, he can read that meditation again, maybe the second time, mm-hmm. having read it earlier that morning, where he can draw homiletic fodder from it. So I want the guys to not only read the meditation of that day once that day in the morning to kick off their day, but I'm hoping they will refer to it one or two more times that day.
You talk even about the idea, likewise, my hope is that the man reading the book will mark it up.
Yes.
That each time he reads it, he will say, a red or blue pen or yellow highlighter to write down notes in the margins. Why?
That's right, because I want it to be catechetical for him. I want it to become a spiritual manual for him in the daily devotional format as a daily reader. And I want him to draw fruit from it. Oh, I didn't know the church taught that about mm-hmm. the seven sacraments. I didn't know there were three sacraments of initiation, two sacraments of healing, and two sacraments of vocation and mission. He could write that in the margin or underline the seven mm-hmm. sacraments in those three categories when I mention those three categories in the book. So it's something that, right. that's catechetical in nature.
Now you say that each day's meditation is so autonomous and stands on its own subject matter. Each day's meditative theme does not cross over to align with other days' meditative themes. Why did you decide to do it though?
Because I want it to be not only for the individual man, but I also want it to be for group use. Mm-hmm. So there's three stylistic points of the book that mm-hmm. really lend themselves to group use as well as individual use for the individual man. Let's say there's a group of men that meet on Wednesday mornings in the parish hall at 6 or 6:30 a.m. before their workday begins, and they meet for 45 minutes in the parish hall. So the first point is that the book is not calendarized like June 1st, June 2nd, June 3rd. Rather, it's day one,
okay.
day two, day three. So they're not locked into a calendar. And also,
and so it's not necessarily tied into the saint of the day or one of those
exactly,
kinds of things.
Exactly.
Like
and okay. also, you know, things come up in a man's life. Maybe a tragedy has stricken his family where he won't be able to look at the book for 3 or 4 days because of a funeral planning or something.
Right.
So when he does
or
come
he could
back
go to
the book,
or he could go to a specific topic that maybe relates to what he's going
he
through.
He can. But as far as reading an actual meditation daily and being faithful to the 200 days, I realize there will be breaks in those 200 days because
that.
Things
yeah.
simply come up, quote, end quote. Mm-hmm. And so if he's on day 122, but he has to set it aside for 4 or 5 days, when he finally does come back to it, he picks it up at day 123. So number one, it's not
he doesn't have to read five in a row to make up for a lost
Correct.
Time or something.
To get back
catch
on the calendar.
Calendar date.
Right,
or,
exactly.
Or skip those meditations to just go to the date he's on.
That's exactly right. Second way that it lends itself both to individual use and group use, Doug, is that there's a great topical index at the back of the book, all 200 days topics of meditation, all in alphabetical order. And that's a great mm-hmm. thing too. And then also, at the end of each day's meditation, there's crossover reference numbers to other days that you just intimated at mm-hmm. That will lead the men to go look at those other days, maybe 4 or 5 other days that deal in a roundabout way with the same topic of the day they just read.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the men meeting on Wednesday morning say, hey, let's take commitment and read this coming week the crossover days that deal with commitment found at the bottom of the meditation on commitment. And so they can come back the following week and discuss mm-hmm. the virtue of commitment, of being committed, whether it's to your spouse, whether it's to your family, whether it's to your work, whether it's just being committed to overall diligence, the mm-hmm. virtue of diligence. There we have a case where one virtue, commitment, feeds another virtue, diligence. And so that's what I'm hoping that groups of men will benefit from as well as individual guys.
Yeah, you say groups of men, and you talk about behind every great man is a great woman, so does then that I have taken the liberty within this men's Catholic devotional to quote from several great female saints of the church, of course. And
yeah.
you also say that this is a book it's not exclusive for men, right? Women could use it.
Women could use it, but there are topics brought up in the book that are meant specifically for men, and I did design it to be specifically for men.
So is this something you think a wife would pick up for their husband, too?
Absolutely.
As a kind of a thing, maybe?
Absolutely. For her husband, for her sons, for her sons-in-laws, it would be something to help jumpstart the spiritual life of those men whose spiritual lives are maybe lukewarm or tepid, or to make stronger the spiritual life of those men who already practice the faith well. Now, a side point here in this regard is notice the title, Stand Firm, Be Strong. The subtitle is A Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. The subtitle is not A Catholic Men's Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. So I'm hoping our Protestant brothers who are not Catholic will benefit from this book, if for no other reason, to find out more about Catholic spirituality and what we believe about the virtues, about the sacraments, about the sacred liturgy, and also not just our non-Catholic Christian brethren, but also our non-Christian brothers, our Muslim brothers, for example, our Hindu brothers, who just want to find out more about...
There's also a lot of nuns out there these days.
True, exactly.
People have no religion or no faith anymore. Right?
That's right. And so they can discover what the Catholic spirituality is for men, not only spiritually for the soul, but also temporally for the body.
Now you picked that cover. That's you say one is the book's cover. I've selected Ari Scheffer's Temptation of Christ.
Yes.
Why did you pick that particular image? What did it say to you, and how does that relate to the book?
Because it depicts perfectly the title. Christ is standing firm, and he's being strong against the wiles of the tempter, the chief agitator, the devil, Satan, during his temptation in the desert that the Gospels talk about. And yet at the same time, while standing firm and being strong, Christ has a very calm demeanor about him in his look. And he's casting out the devil, but he's doing so in a way that shows he's in control. And this is something that I want the men, the male readers of this book, to take from the book of what the title conveys.
And how did you decide on the individual topics you've got here? The true gospel or confidence, or how did those categories come up to you?
You know, that's a fantastic question, and they come to me in any variety of forms and whatever I might be doing. Prayer, work, recreation, in my travels as an itinerant preacher for the Fathers of Mercy, some of the topics, confession, Eucharist, grace, salvation, the reality of the devil, how to draw more from the Holy Sacrifice and Sacred Banquet of the Mass, purity of intention, custody of the eyes, accountability, commitment, you name it, I've covered it. And there's no one answer to that question, and that's a great question. I could be exercising, I could be driving to the airport to catch a flight for my next parish mission. I could be working on a homily for this coming Sunday, and a topic comes to me while working on that homily that would make a great daily meditation for the book. So it just depends. You know, it's just the inspiration.
Did you have to edit out how many you were planning on doing, or was it hard for you to come up with enough? Were you struggling to come up with enough, or you had to cut a lot out?
I had to cut some topics out, and this is what, because I didn't want it to be textbook size. I wanted it to be the size of a standard reader.
Right.
And so I had to cut some out, but I kept that list of the ones I didn't use. So if there is a volume two, God be praised, I can pick up where I left off.
I thought this was a day 12, the truth, and a quote from Galatians, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" And then you have Saint Boniface underneath. The truth can be assaulted, but never defeated or falsified. A lot of people having trouble with the truth these days.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're losing faith and reason, and by virtue of that fact, we're losing truth, because truth goes hand in hand with faith and reason, as Saint John Paul II makes so clear in his wonderful encyclical on faith and reason, Fides et Ratio. And so I wanted to do an entry on truth, to show the beauty of looking to and adhering to all that the sacred deposit of faith offers to the Catholic man, and for non-Catholic men to learn from that as well, in her sacred scripture, her sacred tradition, and her magisterium. All that she proposes for belief as being divinely revealed is thus safeguarded by that deposit of faith, and we become faithful students of the Church and faithful students of the deposit of faith.
Day 28, reaping what you sow. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will reap. That's from Galatians. Then a quote from St. Bernard. The world rages, the flesh is heavy, the devil lays his snares, but I do not fall, for my feet are planted firm on a rock. It strikes me that one of the problems we seem to have in the world today is I'm not responsible.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my fault.
Right.
You know what I mean? So suddenly I do these things and then the consequences are negative, and this shouldn't be, I shouldn't have to deal with this.
Right, and you would think we would learn from the old maxim or the old adage, garbage in, garbage out, virtue in, virtue out, or another way of saying garbage in, garbage out is vice in, vice out, and yet we don't want to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. And right. One of the crossover references to that particular day that you just mentioned is the entry on accountability and being accountable. So, you know, we're a body-soul composite, right? We don't have bodies, we are bodies. We don't have souls, we are souls. The church even teaches that the soul is the form of the body, its animating principle. So the spiritual and the temporal need to be addressed when you are dealing with the human person. And so I try to pick topics like accountability, like reaping what you sow, in regards to the spiritual and the temporal of man.
You know, day 39, sin and guilt, two things we never hear about anymore.
Well, and both are very real. But I love St. Thomas Aquinas's definition of guilt. He says, guilt is the loss of integrity of soul, and the soul recognizing that fact that it's lost its integrity. Mm-hmm. In other words, guilt is meant to be a healthy thing. It's not meant to be a foreboding thing that leads one into depression or despair. No, we need a healthy guilt. Guilt is the loss of integrity of soul and the soul's recognizing that very fact that it has lost its integrity when we've sinned, especially mortal sin, grave matter done with fullness of knowledge and done with deliberate consent of one's will. And then if any one or two of those three are missing, you have a venial sin. But the thing is, we want to shun even venial sin, and we want to strive for virtue and virtuous living. You know, I love number 1803 of the Catechism, and it's quoted in the book. Virtue and virtuous living is pursuance of the good, the true, and the beautiful in concrete daily actions with all five of the bodily senses, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and the four primary faculties of the soul, intellect, will, memory, and imagination. These nine great gifts of the body-soul composite that I just mentioned earlier that tells us about the spiritual and the temporal in man and why he can't address just the soul or why he can't just address the body. For example, exercise. You can exercise all you want, but if you're not keeping your soul in shape, it's not going to be mean much for your whole person as a body and soul reality, as a body and soul composite.
In fact, it would be distorted one way or the other.
It would be distorted. It would turn into an ism. Right. An ism is when we go too far of an extreme to one or the other, right?
Right.
And so it's like pride, right? The chief capital of the capital sins. The opposite extreme is self-loathing, opposite of pride. Both are bad, right?
Right.
So what's the median virtue that we need to strive for, both for the prideful person and the self-loathing person? Humility.
Right, because some people mistake humility for self-loathing.
Right, exactly.
They think that
humility, St. Thomas Aquinas again, humility is seeing your place and taking it, meaning sometimes the prideful person will be called to come a little lower and the self-loathing person will be called to come a little higher. Come higher, friend, as the gospel tells us. So we need that median virtue for the balance of the body-soul composite.
Day 45, spiritual blindness. How is a man today in living the world today suffering under spiritual blindness?
He doesn't understand the reality of sin. He doesn't believe that there's such a reality as sinful matter, venial or mortal, that can really be even a portal to the occult.
Like pornography or something,
or demonic
some other
influence.
Thing like those kinds of things like that.
That just goes totally unchecked. Or stealing from his company, embezzlement from his company, cheating annually on his taxes with no thought that he shouldn't do otherwise. These are evils that we need to turn away from. Not treating his spouse like his spouse, not treating his children like his children. Look, the male in his masculine genius is called to be a provider, a protector, a defender. He's called to be the wise and prudent king who serves first and foremost, not one who is served. And he models his life after Christ. And mind you, this is meant for all states in life, what I just said about the provider, the protector, the defender, one who serves and not is only concerned about being served. So singles, marrieds, widowers, bishops, diocesan priests, deacons, whether permanent or advancing towards priesthood as transitional deacons, and religious order priests like myself with the Fathers of Mercy or consecrated religious brothers. All eight major states in life, and I don't say the divorced per se, because the divorced person if an annulment is in place, if he has an annulment in place, he's technically single.
Single, right.
If he does not have an annulment in place, he's still considered married.
Okay.
Okay. So I wanted to cover these eight states in life that I just enunciated. And I want to make sure that each man in each of those eight major states in life understands the importance of the bodily and the spiritual.
So is this a book for males or for men? And is there an age bracket in your mind for when somebody would pick it up or think it would be appropriate for somebody?
That's a great question, Doug, and I've been asked that already in some of my radio interviews for the book. Yeah. I firmly believe that a freshman in high school, a young man who's a freshman in high school, around age 14, definitely, maybe even a 13-year-old in eighth grade, but definitely, definitely the 14-year-old in high school, who has good sensibility about himself. He's a mature young man. He's striving for virtue. He wants to go to confession once a month. He wants to advance in virtue and root out vice. He wants to start contemplating what is God calling him to be in his vocation and state in life, married or a priest or a brother or single living in the world. What is God calling him to be? I believe that that age, around age 14, can benefit from the meditations in this book.
Now, one of the things that struck me here, day 76, you got love of God and love of neighbor. We always hear those together. We live in a world where everybody can be very socially oriented towards helping each other, but say, well, I'm not really that big on this God stuff. So is it possible for somebody to love their neighbor and not love God?
Not fully. Not at a supernatural level. It can be done at a natural level, but not a supernatural level. You're basically enunciating Christ's two greatest commandments. When the rich young man comes to him, and also in another version of the Gospels, it's when the scribe comes to him. What must I do to be saved? You must love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, body, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. What Jesus is doing there, Doug, he's basically giving the young man, and again in the other version of the Gospel, the scribe, he's giving them all 10 commandments by giving them what are known as the two greatest commandments. Love of God with all your mind, heart, body, and soul is the first three of the 10. And your neighbor as yourself are the remaining seven, which begins with commandment 4, honor thy father and thy mother, because guess what? Even though they're your parents, they're still your fellow human being. And so you're called to love your parents as your parents, but also as your fellow neighbor. Right. This is why we never lose honor, love, and respect for our parents, even once we become emancipated from the home and move out.
Right.
Strict obedience isn't due anymore to parents once you become emancipated, because the church doesn't want 35 or 42-year-old mama's boys, for example. So the strict obedience towards parents ceases once you become emancipated from the home, but the love, honor, and respect towards your parents always remains, not only because they're your parents, but because they're your neighbor.
Now, one of the things also, you talk about the idea for men to fulfill your duties with diligence and balance. Do men understand what their duties are today?
Well, that's a good question. I would say it's a question of casuistry that is a case-by-case basis. You might have some that are more in tune to what their faithfulness to daily duty entails, and others who don't, because they're not truly living their husbandhood. They're not truly living their fatherhood. And they're not the best employee at their work of business. They try to slack off at work. And that's not the virtue of diligence. That's more of the virtue of slothfulness, as opposed to the opposite extreme of slothfulness. Slothfulness is one of the seven capital sins, like we mentioned prior. Earlier.
Right.
The opposite extreme, like self-loathing was to pride, the opposite extreme of sloth is workaholism. Both are bad.
Right.
So what's the median virtue found halfway between sloth and the workaholic or workaholism? Diligence, the virtue of diligence. So some of the topics for the more bodily meditations, not so much the soul, like Eucharist and confession and grace and salvation and how to draw more from the Holy Sacrifice and Sacred Banquet of the Mass or the reality of the devil. Those are more for the soul. But some more for the body are like accountability, commitment, purity of intention, fraternity and camaraderie, and even more negative topics, if you will, like hypocrisy or rash judgment. Those are more addressing the bodily temporal aspects of the man. And so that's important too. But faithfulness to daily duty is another one that's important in that regard.
So do you create formulas or something here? There's some formula I wanted to explain to me about how you attain goals. How does that work?
I want to look at this book as prudent advice in each day's meditation. Prudent advice plus achievable resolutions equals attainable goals. That's very, very important. So prudent advice plus achievable resolutions equals attainable goals. Mm-hmm. That's what I want each meditation, not only the meditation itself that I've mm-hmm. written, but coupled with the daily scripture quote and the daily saint quote. That's the formula that I want each of the 200 meditations to do for the individual.
So if it's not, if what you're doing is imprudent or what you're trying to do is really not achievable, you're going to set yourself up for failure.
Right. I want this book to be a mirror where the man each day with each meditation honestly looks at himself mm-hmm. and does a personal inventory based on that topic of the day.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you, how long did it take you actually to figure out all of these topics and then put them into a book format?
I wrote the entire book in about 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
I had been collecting saints' quotes that stood out for me and scripture quotes that stood out for mm-hmm. me since I was ordained a priest.
Okay.
But the sitting down and coalescing exactly what saints' quotes I want to use, and I have a file of over 2,000 mm-hmm. saint quotes that I've typed up myself. And same thing with scripture quotes, that they stand out for me when I read them. They may not have stood out for me the first time I read them or came across them, but it stood out for me at another time. Over 2,000 for each of the saints and scripture quotes. And then sitting down and doing the meditations along with coalescing mm-hmm. which saint and scripture quotes I wanted, the whole process took about 7 months.
Well, let me ask you, when do you find time to write?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I love to write. I do some of my best work that's apart from the mission band mm-hmm. of preaching on the road for the Fathers of Mercy. We're itinerant missionary preachers, the week-long parish mission, weekend retreats and conferences, devotions, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we travel a lot, about 30 to 35 weeks out of the year we're on the road. But apart from that work for the Fathers of Mercy, which part of my mission work for the Fathers of Mercy is included with my series I do for EWTN, my periodical series, whether it's a Lenten series.
And the radio show you do on a regular basis.
My weekly radio show. Right. I do, apart from all of that, I do some of my best writing in the early morning hours, 3:30, 4 a.m. till about 6:15 when the Fathers of Mercy have their community morning hour beginning at 6:30 before our 7:30 daily mass. But I love my quiet mornings, and that's when I do a lot of my writing.
We're just about out of time. Is there another book in the works?
Well, there could be a volume two, since you intimated it yourself.
Well, it just seemed like, you know, filling the hole. You want a whole human being. We're supposed to be certain wholeness, so that would figure it out would be a great way to finish out the whole year. Thank you so much.
Volume two only needs to be 165 years.
There we go, even easier. Father Wade Meneses, great friend of the network, CPM, Standing Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of scripture and saints, and definitely need it now. EW10 Publishing put it out. It's available through our catalog. Check it out, EW10RC.com. I'm Doug Keck. Thanks for joining us here on Bookmark. We shall see you next time.